Welcome again to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bibles, be turning them to Jeremiah chapter 36. We're studying right now about Jehoiakim and an evil thing that he did. You see, God told Jeremiah the words that he wanted Jehoiakim and all the people to hear. And Jeremiah repeated those words and pronounced them in the Barak, his servant. And Barak went and took those words and read them to the people. And when they heard, they said, "The king's got to hear this." And so he reads them to the king. And the king didn't like those words. So he took a knife and cut the words of the scroll, cut them into strips, and burned them in the fire. Now, you just can't do the word of God that way. And even if you do, it doesn't change what God says, does it? I've heard of people that have gone through their Bible with scissors and cut out the verses they did not like. I don't know if that is true or not, but that is certainly what Jehoiakim is trying to do here in this chapter. And so we're going to begin with that story, or we'll continue that story, in Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 20. Just a moment. I want to, before we get to that though, bring up another argument that people have made concerning the consumption of beverage alcohol. They talk about drinking alcohol is akin to the eating of meats. And even though it was wrong in the New Testament days for some of them to eat the meats that had been offered to idols, it was not wrong in and of itself. There was nothing wrong with the meat. But if the eating of that meat could cause another brother to stumble, then they should forbear the eating of those meats. And so they say, now that's like alcohol. And they say there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol unless the drinking of it would cause thy brother to stumble because he thinks there's something wrong with it. And so that's the reason you should forbear drinking of alcohol. Well, I will say this about that argument. It is true that if you are drinking intoxicating beverages, it is very likely you will influence others to drink them as well. And so that is a good reason not to drink them. But I do not agree that it is equivalent to the eating of meats, because there's nothing wrong with the eating of meats. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31, The wise man Solomon, by the word of the Holy Spirit, says, "Look thou not upon the wine." That is, don't desire it. And he's talking about it when it's alcoholic. Don't desire alcoholic wine. It has to do with the matter of the heart. Now, he did not say, "Look thou not upon the meat." If he had said that, then it would be wrong for us to desire meat. But there's nothing wrong with that desire, because there's nothing wrong with eating meat in and of itself. Now, it is true we have to watch our influence, but there's more problems with the drinking of alcohol than influence. You see, when you're drinking an intoxicating beverage, you're poisoning yourselves. And it is the drink that makes you a drunkard. Drunkenness is a matter of degree. When you begin drinking is when you're beginning to be a drunkard. And drunkenness is condemned in the Bible. And so that is not going to justify the drinking of alcohol. I know it is true that we've got to watch our influence. And that alone ought to be enough for us to abstain from drinking alcohol. But it's not going to justify it if you're not going to have a bad influence. And so that argument's not going to work either. There is no argument that justifies the drinking of alcoholic beverages, that is, when they're being drunk for the intention of receiving the drunkenness benefits, if you want to call them benefits, that drunkenness effect of alcohol on the body. Now, we're not talking about a medicine, but we're talking about a pleasure beverage, and the Bible does not justify that. And you can't do it. And so all of these arguments fall by the wayside. It's not like eating peanuts. It's not just about getting sloppy drunk. It's not something that can be justified because you've been doing it all your life. It's not something that can be justified according to culture. And it is not equivalent to the eating of meats that had been offered to idols. We just need to stay away from it. If God doesn't want us to desire it, as it says in Proverbs 23 and verse 31, then he doesn't want us to consume it. And that ought to be good enough. Now, we'll get to our lesson today in just a moment, but I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's get to our text, Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 20. And note what the king did when the word of the Lord was read to him. It says in Jeremiah 6 and verse 20, and they went into the king into the court, but they had laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and they told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehuda to fetch the roll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and Jehuda read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes that stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the brazier burning before him. And it came to pass, when Jehuda had read three or four leaves, that the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. And they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard these words. Moreover, Elnathan and Delilah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, and Shariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abidul, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But Jehovah hid them. Jeremiah 36 and verse 27. Then the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the word which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were written in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah had burned. And concerning Jehoiakim king of Judah thou shalt say, thus saith Jehovah, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause it to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith Jehovah concerning Jehoiakim king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim king of Judah had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. And so Jehoiakim, he was defying God, and his body would not receive a decent burial. In fact, we read that he was buried with the burial of an ass. Jeremiah chapter 22, beginning in verse 13, we read, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not his hire? That saith, I will build me a wide house and spacious chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Thou shalt reign, because thou strivest to excel in cedar. Did not thy father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Was not this to know me, saith Jehovah? But thine eyes and thy heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for the shedding of innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence, to do it. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. And so, we return to our text for our lesson, Jeremiah chapter 35, and I will now read verses 1 and 2. The word which came unto Jeremiah from Jehovah in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go to the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of Jehovah, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Let me talk to you a moment about the Rechabites. Jeremiah was commanded by Jehovah to go to the house, that is, the family, of the Rechabites, to bring them into one of the chambers of the temple in Jerusalem, and to give them wine to drink. The Rechabites were descendants of Rechab, 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 15, who was a Kenite, 1 Chronicles 2 and verse 55. And the Kenites were descendants of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. You can find all that by comparing Numbers 10, 29 and 32 with Judges 1 and 16 and Judges 4, 11. And verses 6 through 11 of this lesson gives the manner of life of those Rechabites. They drank no wine, and built no houses, and sowed no seed, and planted no vineyards, and cultivated no fields, and were never to do any of these things. But they dwelt in tents, leading this nomadic life, and subsisting on their flocks, believing that in this way they could live the longest and happiest life. They had before them the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and other patriarchs, who were sojourners in a land that was not their own, while they looked for the heavenly country. They seemed not disposed to bind themselves in any way that would impede their progress toward this heavenly country. This life they pursued conscientiously and religiously, in faithful adherence to the command of Jonadab and all of their fathers. The reason they gave for being then in Jerusalem was, they sought protection from the Chaldean army, which was invading the land. While it is right for us to cultivate the soil, to follow any other honest business, and to build houses and dwell in them, yet God teaches us to use these blessings as not abusing them, to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth, and to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That which God commends the Rechabites is not their nomadic life, but their purity of life, and especially their faithfulness to the instruction of their fathers. We read in Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 3 and 4, Then I took Jehaziah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habzaniah, and his brethren, and all the sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of Jehovah, into the chamber of the sons of Hannah, the sons of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the Mechrites of the Shalom, the keeper of the threshold. We'll have to stop there.